I'm really excited. We've got quite a few people who are going to come and just spend, you know, I don't know, a few minutes sharing something of what's happened in their lives, you know, over at some point, and how they I've been encouraged, how they want to share that. So I'm really excited about going through that. I just thought, just to kind of give it an introduction and to frame it, we call these our Life Changer Sundays. And do you want to just chuck up? I just wanted to put up Ephesians. This is the verse in the Bible, so you feel free to turn there, but or you can just read it through from the screen. I just wanted to see why this is valuable. There's a biblical thing. It's a really worthwhile thing that we do in sharing stories. And so let me just read that out. It says this in Ephesians 1, 15 to 18. For this reason, this is Paul speaking, who kind of has spoken into this church. He's writing a letter to a church in a place called Ephesus. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And so just as a way of framing it and kind of launching into these things, you want to put up the next one, Andy. You pick out a few things from there. He starts by kind of saying, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And there's a sense in which I kind of feel that with Paul as kind of a leader in this church, and that's what I do. I thank God for you as I kind of lead this through with the team and want to serve you. So there's also that, but then also a sense in which everyone who's sharing this morning will be giving thanks, and that's kind of what we're doing. We're just thanking God for his faithfulness, as we've been singing about, and how he's been always faithful to us. And then Paul goes on and says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that the reason he wants to give us is so that you may know him better. And again, this morning, I just love hearing these stories. There's people really essentially telling us about how they've got to know God better. And they've been blessed by his grace. We believe Christianity is about relationship more than anything. It's not kind of a list of rules. It's not do this, do that. It's relationship with the living God, and that's our prayer is, and my prayer is that you may know him better, may know God better, know his mercy, his grace, his kindness, and his sovereignty and his power. And that's this morning. People are going to be telling stories about how they've got to know God better through what's happened in their lives. And then he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And when we talk about hope in the Bible, it's not so much, you know, Liverpool fans hoping that they beat United today, although there's pretty strong hope there, I would suggest. It's not kind of a hopeful, you know, fingers crossed, I've got nothing that I can actually do to influence this. It's talking about a hope that is sure. And not to worry about, we have a sure and certain hope in our Lord Jesus. And that's what, again, people are going to be talking about this morning. A hope that is sure. That we need not worry, that they're reminding us that we are, again, it says, in order that you may know the hope. And there's people telling stories of how they've known hope. They've known true, certain hope that Jesus is on the throne. Not maybe is on the throne. He is sovereign, he is Lord, and we can trust him. And that's what we're talking about, knowing the hope to which he's called. So that's where we're at. That's what we're going to be doing. That's what people are going to be sharing their story about. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to kind of introduce them up, and then they will just take the mic, tell their bit. And you guys have got to do a lot of clapping this morning, all right? Because you I'm more intimidating than you look and maybe feel. And so it's not always easy coming up and doing this. So, you know, as they come up, as I introduce them, then clap them as they come up. And as they sit down, clap them as they sit down. And we'll, The only person you don't really need to clap is me, because I just ain't worth it. But everyone else, let's. No, don't do it. No. Oh, I feel like that's just like, oh my goodness, the worst sympathy clap ever. But God bless you. So anyway, everyone else clap. So I will introduce them up. And firstly, we are going to have Sophie, who's going to come and tell her story. So yeah, big clap for Sophie. Come on, Sophie.
Too formal. Okay. So Joe was like, right, you've got to do it in 3 minutes. And I was like, what? 3 minutes? How do I condense 1 year into 3 minutes? Anyway, so this is like my 10th draft. So if it doesn't make sense, there's a whole lot missing, but come and ask me about it. So in September 2018, I entered into my fourth year of teaching in my second school since graduating, which brought with it an increase in scrutiny from senior members of staff to the point where I became very unwell mentally and emotionally, which also ended up affecting my physical health. While talking to my manager regarding my health concerns, she replied, "Life happens, Sophie," and continued to increase levels of scrutiny and criticism. And this led me to constantly question where God was in all of this. It can become a cliche in a Christian walk to hear or think, God will not give us more than he knows we can handle. But as time went on, it became harder and harder to hold on to this truth or even feel a connection with God. I'd applied to work at a Christian school because I felt that God would be able to use me there, but not everyone was behaving in a Christian-like manner, which made me again question where God was in all of this. Consequently, to hold on to truth, such as the Lord having a plan for my life to prosper and not to harm me, was tricky to believe, and I started thinking that I must be an exception. I was constantly looking for opportunities where I could demonstrate God's never-ending love to others, but every time I pulled myself up and out of a situation, put a smile on my face, and put an extra 250% into my work, more trials would come my way. Living out and trusting my understanding that my purpose on earth is to demonstrate God's undying love in every situation became really difficult, while I was being told that my actions were damaging those around me. Eventually, my brain gave up even trying to analyze each situation, and I became suicidal. That feeling of helplessness, emptiness, and loneliness in my heart was battling with factual knowledge and previous evidence from my life that God would not leave me. So where was I to turn? I ended up on serious medication, having to pay for private therapy, signed off from work by my doctor, and spending most days under a mound of blankets and cushions in a really dark flat. I became paranoid that whenever I left the house, anyone I saw was judging me for not being in work or would report back to my school. I even believed that people were following me to check up on me, so I completely shut down. I was unable to feel anything, I was unable to do anything. My whole body felt like it was stuffed with black cotton wool, with more and more being forced into me each day, each minute, and with each new insecurity, to the point where I felt like I was just going to combust. I would have been completely alone. I would have been allowed to suffer in my black pit of despair with no way out. I remember feeling as though I knew I could cut steps into the side of this pit, but I couldn't work out where to start. But the reality outside my body and brain was that I was not alone. Every Sunday, like a robot, I would know that coming here was a positive thing. I didn't actually know why it seemed to help. I couldn't sing any songs, and I felt like I couldn't interact with people. But a switch in me woke me up on a Sunday, sent me to Warblington School, and brought me home again. Without that, I know I wouldn't be here today. Warblington School on a Sunday has a group of amazing, everyday people who have a shared interest in knowing where we come from, why we are here, and where we're going to go. We all share this common interest because we've all been in situations, no matter how big or how small, that require us to face up to the answers of these questions. This amazing group of people, church, are a support system like no one can imagine. They will talk to you, care for you, encourage you, think of you throughout the week, and never leave you feeling alone. It's a family like no other. To walk into a room in a building where you look around and see so many people who know you and look out for you and care for you is a pretty special feeling. That is what being part of a church, this group of people, is about. The support and help that was demonstrated to me throughout this year can only be likened to the support and help that Jesus historically gave to people while he was on earth. I am now alive and feeling better with a new, less pressured job, less money, less security, but more opportunities for growing in myself and my relationship with God. I couldn't see, hear, or feel any evidence of his being near me throughout those times, but he made sure that I had good people around me. He prompted them to speak to me and help me make sense of the situation I was in. God has not always promised blue skies all the time, but he has promised that he will guide us and be with us no matter how we feel towards him or where we are in our walk with him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you don't need to be told to clap for that, do you? I mean, you know, such courage and such a, yeah, I mean, there we go, we're off. And yeah, I hope it's encouraging you as it is me. And we'll have a mix, you know, as you go through all these people, there'll be a kind of stories like that. It's just life has been so tough and kind of not knowing where God's grace has been. And yeah, kind of then you see glimpses of him and know his grace ultimately. And there'll be some where it's kind of, yeah, just God just did this thing. And yeah, there'll be a mix. And yeah, that's good. And but hopefully as you do, you know, we all realize that we're all the same, aren't we? We're all broken people in need of a savior. And that's kind of works itself out in different ways. But yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much, Sophie. Cool. Let's welcome up Dave, who's going to come now then. So welcome, Dave.
Okay, so I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder just over 20 years ago, which led me to church and meeting God. I've had 5 manic episodes requiring hospitalization and medication. Last one was in September 2016. Medication causes me to have a slight tremor, which is worse when I'm nervous or doing something like this. I feel that God speaks to me during these times, and I've enjoyed parts of those experiences, but they are very destructive and painful for everyone around me. I need to look after myself and avoid triggers like stress, sudden changes, and sleep deprivation. Last year, we had some big things going on, and I feel that God has kept me safe. There was a difficult situation at our old church that I became emotionally involved in, trying to help and bring reconciliation. Several families left, including some of our very close friends that we'd known for 10 to 15 years. I prayed more than ever in my life for the church and all the people involved, but it wasn't resolved. And the future that we believed in and expected suddenly disappeared. I felt angry, frustrated, sad, and disappointed, but I had to let go and trust God. We had to make the incredibly difficult decision to leave the only church that I'd ever belonged to. But we came here, and it felt so right as soon as we arrived. And our kids have been fantastic as well, making the transition. We've lived in Denville for 13 years. It felt like the home that God wanted for us to live in and to stay in. We've been planning for years, but last April we decided to start extending our house. There have been so many stages to work through, choosing an architect, finalizing the design, planning permission, talking to the neighbors, getting builders' quotes, plus working out if we can afford it. I've always worried about the whole process, how we'd know what to do, but we've had the people to help and advise us throughout, and we're going to start work in 2 weeks' time. In October last year, we had to apply for secondary schools for our son Joshua. We always thought we knew what our first choice would be, but then we were faced with different options. I visited 5 schools with Joshua, and we helped him to decide which would be the best for him to go to. We hope he'll get his first choice. We're going to find out in March. All 3 of these events have been life-changing for me and my family. They've been very stressful and all-consuming, but I've trusted God in them, and he's provided a better outcome than we would, well, that we never even thought of. So 2019 was challenging for us, but I believe that God is moving us to where he wants us to be in 2020. And I feel more confident now that he can keep me well mentally in the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, that it's a common thing when you're seeking God for something and you kind of think this is what you want, and then you get kind of this, and you think, oh, what is that? It's not what I expected. And then in time, you kind of just see how God was working in it, and it wasn't just a fluke, but he provided that outcome in it all. I've just forgotten who I've got up next. But yeah, thanks, Dave. And it's Candice now who is going to come and share. So let's give Candice a big welcome.
Good morning. I've written it out, but I'm going to try. It's a really... a simple testimony. So last year, December, I needed to pay a massive fee to stay in England for a residency permit. And I know in an ideal world, I should have been saving for the last 5 years, but that didn't happen. So the beginning of last year, I started saving, and it was going really hard. And because things just happen every month, and it was feeding up my savings. And all the time, I kept going into my overdraft, but there was money in my savings account, and I was just really stressed and really anxious about it. And I was driving to work in October, and going through the, this is very minor detail, but through the pig farms on the way to Funsington. It's just beautiful, I love it. And I was driving along, and God was like, I'm here, why are you doing this on your own? And I prayed then and then, and I handed it all over to God, and I said, God, I need you to take control of my finances and to help me to be more sensible with my finances and just to help me out of this. I've got 2 months to get the massive fee up. And a week later, my boss invited me out for lunch, and the first thing he said to me was he wanted to give me an incentive bonus, and it would be half of my residency permit. And I just was totally overwhelmed, and the sense of peace that came over me, and I knew that God, all I needed to do was hand over my burdens and my anxieties to him, and he took control of the rest. And I've just got a Bible verse to read. I'm really shaking. In Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then in Romans 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So I just want to encourage you this morning to just hand over all your worries, all your burdens and your anxieties, because a lot of the time we want to handle things on our own, and God is right there with us, surrounding us every day. And if we just hand it over to him, the possibilities are endless. So thank you.
Well done, Candice. Do as well be, you know, if you see these people, encourage them and say, well done, thank you. It's, I mean, it is just so encouraging, isn't it? It is faith building, faith giving. It, you know, reminds me again afresh with these stories. God, you're there, aren't you? God is here. And as Candice was saying, often it can seem the blindingly obvious, God saying, remember, I am here. And yeah, these stories as well, so helpful for our faith and remembering and courage to kind of press on and serve him. We're going to welcome Tim now, who's going to come and share his story. So let's give Tim a big clap and welcome Tim.
Thank you very much indeed. So I'm going to get my entire life into 3 minutes for you and miss out huge chunks of it. So when I was a child, as I was growing up, there was no God in our household. There was no, we didn't go to church. I didn't know anybody that did go to church. My dad, unfortunately, was really ill when I was young. He made it quite clear to me through all the times of his illness, when he'd been resuscitated, that there was no corridor. There was no white light. There was no hand reaching out to him. There certainly weren't any pearly gates. When you were dead, you were dead. And unfortunately, some years later, he got ill in his late 30s. He died in his mid 40s. And, I was relatively young, and so to me there was no God. It was quite straightforward, it was quite clear. There was also no dad anymore either, which was, you know, a tough thing. So I went through the rest of my life until I got to about 45 in a fairly chaotic way. Not a bad way. I haven't got any great complaints that I can level on any of it, but it was relatively chaotic. And I got to 45 years old, and I was in the car, and I was listening to a radio show. And there was an interview with some theologians. It was Melvin Bragg interviewing some people on Radio 4, because I was at that stage in my life where I listened to Radio 4 in the car. And it suddenly struck me that I didn't believe in God, but I had never read the Bible, and I didn't know anything about it. So I didn't believe in something that I didn't understand, that I didn't know about. So within a week or so, I'd got myself a copy of the Bible in 1 year. So I decided I was going to read the Bible, and I was going to find out about this thing that I didn't believe in. And so I started doing that, and it probably took me 2 years, to be fair, and I hated the Old Testament. I couldn't understand it. It didn't make any sense to me at all. And I didn't talk to anyone about it. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I did it myself, and then I got to the New Testament, and it was almost like the Old Testament had been in black and white, and the New Testament was in Technicolor. And I remember reading parts of it and thinking, this is incredible. This is absolutely amazing. Why had I never read or seen this before? Around the same time as that, a friend of mine I hadn't seen for 10 years contacted me. She's a Christian, and we got chatting, and she said, look, why don't we form a Bible group if you're interested? We can do it through an app, and we can talk every day. And she invited another friend of hers. So Kelly and Sarah, for the last 4 or 5 years, and I've never met Sarah, incidentally, have been part of this little Bible group. And every day we read something, and last year we did the Bible in 1 year, and we comment and we talk about it. We moved in just over a year ago. just over the road, and I noticed that Grace Church was here, and you know, that's really, really handy. But I drove past and I hadn't come in. So knew it was here, thought about coming to church, but just really, really didn't get the chance to do so. Then middle of last year, met Mel and Neil completely by chance. They live two or three doors away from us. We got chatting. They said, you know, the Alpha Course is running. Now, I didn't know anything about the Alpha Course particularly at all, other than the fact that about 5 or 6 years ago, one of my business partner's sons became the poster boy for the Alpha Course. Again, not a family of faith, okay? And Tom was on all of the posters in the tubes in London for the Alpha Course. So I found out a little bit about it. I knew a little bit about it. So I came along, did the Alpha Course. I think we started around September, October time of last year here at the school. And was fascinated by it. I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the people that I was talking to and that I was with. But it kind of started to bring a lot of things together. But one of the issues that I had, and the table leader that we had, Amy, I spoke to her about this. One of the issues that I had was that over all these years, what I'd done is I'd learnt about God. I'd read things. I had all this head knowledge. But I wasn't sure that I really felt it in my heart. Not like real Christians do. Not like real, you know, people that follow Jesus do. So I was a bit concerned about that because I didn't want to get to the end of the Alpha Course and just know stuff but not feel any different. And then one morning, it was the 21st of October. 21st of October, I was up really early, I'd read some stuff, and I suddenly thought, you know, I'd always looked at the Bible as being this story that was written a long time ago that was really, really interesting. And I was fascinated by the fact that something written thousands of years ago could be relevant today. And it suddenly dawned on me that it wasn't just a story that was written all that time ago. It was actually an ongoing story, a story that we're all part of. And when I realised that, it made me look at it in a completely different way. It suddenly started to make more sense. It suddenly started to be a bigger part of me, if you like. And so we came to the end of the Alpha Course. I was disappointed. I actually thought we had one more week. I got my dates a bit wrong. So we came to the end of the Alpha Course. And it said on the little bit of paper, you know, how would you describe yourself, you know, from the beginning to the end? And I wrote on there, I would describe myself as a Christian. And so in Joe's notes to us, he said, you know, so can you sort of say anything about what Jesus has done in your life? And I think, well, okay, he's not made me any taller. I haven't lost any weight. I'm not any wealthier. But I feel different. If anything, it's made my life more difficult because I have to have different opinions on things. I have to think carefully about what it is I do, what it is I think. I wish I'd have had this all those years ago when I was a kid, from feeling very, very lonely, and this was the thing in some of the other talks. But you know what? I'm really glad that I've got it now, and I'm really grateful that I'm here, that I came along, and obviously very grateful for all of you. Thank you very much indeed.
Get in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, also, that's happening. It's happening. So I couldn't stop it. I wasn't going to do it, but they're doing it. Happy birthday to you. It is indeed Tim's birthday today. Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, Tim. I was going to say it's your birthday and not sing. Obviously, there's kind of this. Yeah. No, it was. Maybe. Anyway, yeah. Thank you. That is just brilliant to hear. And just again, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's just hearing people talk and just, like, you know, a little sentence and it just resonates and you just think, man, yeah, that is, you know, things like Tim just saying, Jesus, you kind of you get to know Jesus. And, you know, I'm not richer. My, if anything, in a way, my life is harder. And yeah, I wouldn't trade it for anything. You kind of, you know, essentially now I've got something I wish I'd always had. And just, yeah, just it's not easy following Jesus, as you're probably picking up. But just kind of so hard to explain how it is so worth it and so valuable, so kind of intangible in the doing that. We were going to have now Sarah, who is Dave's wife. That's right, isn't it? I was gonna, when you talk it like that. But Sarah's unfortunately not very well this morning and not been for a few days, like totally up in bed. Not well at all, Dave's saying. They have sent her story though, so I'm going to read what Sarah was going to share. So you have to, you know, when I say I am Sarah, right? In fact, it starts I'm Sarah. So you'll I think you'll get that as we go through. And I'll read Sarah's story. Cheers. So she says this. I'm Sarah. I'm a primary school teacher. I teach the little ones, 4 and 5 years old. I work in a school that is 30 miles away, so it takes 45 minutes to an hour to drive there. Occasionally, I've thought about trying to find a job closer to home, but I like working somewhere where I know everyone, and I've been fortunate that my school let me work part-time after having children, as not all schools do. Just before Christmas, I heard about a job vacancy that had suddenly come up at a local school for an early years part-time teacher. It was to start after February half term and only on a temporary contract. There were lots of reasons why it wasn't logical for me to apply. I didn't want to suddenly leave my job, share partner and my class. It was a bit crazy to apply for a temporary contract which could leave me unemployed in July when I had a secure permanent contract. And we were about to apply for a new job, for a new mortgage to build our extension, which we thought would get turned down if I only had a temporary contract. The logistics were complicated too. It was to work different days to what I currently do, so I'd have to try and change my son Benjamin's play school days and have less time to spend with him in his last year before he starts school. Despite the complications, I felt called to apply. I was trusting God that if it was right for me to have the job, then everything would work out all right for us as a family and for my current class. I applied and got an interview. On the evening of the interview, I was waiting for the phone call. I thought about how I'd reply, both if I got the job and if I didn't. The phone rang and the head teacher said, "We've got a proposition for you." I hadn't practiced a reply for "we've got a proposition." I love the school, but were they going to ask me to teach year six? She continued, "How would you feel about starting in September and on a permanent contract?" It was more than I could have dreamed of. I thought I had taken a huge leap of faith in applying, but God was very gracious and didn't leave me free-falling for long. He had a plan all worked out for me. I wanted to share my story because I'm not someone that does lots of big, adventurous things, but I think that God can use all of us to do his work and to go where he wants us to go. God speaks to us, to each of us in different ways. I didn't hear a loud, booming voice. I just felt in my heart that it was right to apply. Also, I've had many dreams over the years that I was working in this specific school. I always thought it was just my mind confusing my memories, as it's the school I went to as a child. But maybe it was God gently whispering the idea to me so that I would be ready to move when the time was right. Yeah, I mean, isn't that brilliant? Again, God knows better than we do, doesn't he? And we kind of can, feel those moments. And I hope you encourage. I feel it'd be good to, I want to pray for Sarah, pray that she gets better, and just kind of pray for us, you know, important, just pray for everyone who has shared, who's going to share. And so, but as I do, you know, it's not, I'm going to pray and you will listen, but let's pray together. Do you know what I mean? Let's pray for, as do this. So, you know, close your eyes if you want, do what you want to, that makes you feel comfortable. Father, thank you for your grace. We are so, so humbled that you're at work in our lives, that so clearly you have a plan for each and every one of us. And it, when I say so clearly, when we look back, we can see your plan. And it's often not that obvious in the moment, but so clear. So we thank you just for this story of Sarah. Praise you, Lord, that you are sovereign there. I just pray for speedy recovery for Sarah. We believe you heal, Lord. We believe you provide jobs. We believe that you change circumstances so that to bless us. And we believe you heal. So we pray, would you come and heal Sarah, oh God. And God, I thank you for everyone sharing this morning, for the faith and the courage it takes to do that. And but the value in it that we get to hear. We're so privileged. We get to just hear people kind of just who worked hard, who have kind of to prepare, and also to have the faith and the courage to do what they're doing, and we just get to benefit. So I just pray, Lord, for each and every one of us, those sharing and those not, would we all know something of your whisper to us? It's beautiful what Sarah's saying there in terms of maybe God was gently whispering to me all along. Lord, I pray, would we hear your gentle whisper? I believe you are there in the whisper. You're not always there with a big, booming, loud voice. Sometimes, not most of the time. Most of the time, you're gently whispering, waiting for us. Lord, I pray that we would hear your whisper. I pray everyone who's sharing would be blessed and know just further increase in faith because of their sharing and that everyone receiving, Lord, would we just hear your voice whispering to us that you are glorious and good. We love you, God. We love doing this. Amen. Amen. Thank you. It's good, isn't it? How are we doing? All right? Good, good. We are now going to hear from Anna. Anna, he's going to come and share. Yeah.
Thank you. Hello. So I've been coming to Grace Church now for about 2 years, and I was baptized 6 months later after joining, feeling that, feeling like I was part of something special. When I was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, I was a sinner. I didn't know it, but I was. For the last 5 to 6 years, I'd smoked marijuana, thinking it helped my emotions and numbed my pain. I was angry and I lost all control of my life. I believed it helped me, and that was a lie. Last July, I had a really vivid dream where I was at the bottom of a mountain which had steps all the way to the top, and at the top there was like a doorway made up of giant pillars. In my dream, I got halfway and I stumbled. I couldn't move, I couldn't climb any higher. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but I knew I was going to give up and I was feeling positive. I've lost where I was now, sorry. I prayed, had energy, lost weight, felt amazing. I would tell all about how I was doing. That lasted about 6 weeks before the stresses of life led me back to it. This really hit me hard, and I questioned if I was good enough to be a Christian. I'm used to being good at everything, and I couldn't shift this thought of disappointment and failure. I didn't want to get to the gates of heaven and be told that he never knew me. A verse that helped me with that was from Romans 7, verse 15 to 17, and it says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me." It was then that my dream made sense. He was showing me that I was going to stumble, like he knew my mindset, and he was telling me one step at a time. At that point, I myself owned my problem. I didn't fully place it at his feet. I would forget to pray and went about my day forgetting what he has done for me, and continues to do for me, because it's not just the smoking, it was the gambling, the depression, the medication. I was being told to slow down, so now it's been 18 days and not a penny spent, and 4 whole days where I haven't smoked anything. Recognizing what I did previously when I stopped was the first thing, and that was prayer. And realizing I had stopped praying was the second thing. So with each new morning that God gives me, I pray for someone on my Facebook, and then I pray for myself, and I give all the glory to God who has saved me.
Yeah, brilliant. Again, just such courage, isn't it? You know, I'm humbled. I'm sure you are too. And you learn. None of us have made it. We're still on this journey, and that's the kind of, you can often be a false pretense in when you're telling someone a story. It's like, and this is the glorious end, and it's all solved, and now it's fine. And none of us really, that's the case. We're all still on this journey, aren't we? And yeah, so thank you so much, Anna. Such, yeah, inspiring and faith-giving courage. So thank you. Martin is going to come and share. I'm not sure. Martin, yeah, let's give Martin a welcome.
Morning, everyone. Morning. Hello. So I'm going to speak from memory. I know the story quite well, I think. So I'm actually from South Africa. So many years ago, well, not many years, some years ago in South Africa, I was going for my driving test. So I was in Harrismith. I was staying with Hans and his family. And the next day I had to go to my driving test. I had forgotten my glasses, so I had a problem. So now I was concerned about this, and I felt this prompt or notion or yeah. Anyway, so I believed God was telling me, if I want to glorify His name, I must go and tell this person about my problem. Now his name is Pete. So I went to Pete's house. He just returned from somewhere. And I told him about my problem. He said, well, go to the church, go to his church where he works. And I went there and I waited for him. When I was there, when he arrived, he told me, just send a message to my mother. Now, I was wondering, why didn't I just send a message in the first place? So after that, I just walked back again. And, of course, first I sent a message to my mother. And on the way back, there was this black man. He was waiting by this church. It's an older church, more archaic. You know, you can tell the difference. And he was waiting. He was wanting parcels and some money because he was stuck. His family was in a different town. He was in trouble himself. So I wanted to help this man, but obviously this church was locked and closed. So I didn't have any money. So I brought him with me to the church where Pitt works, and Pitt said, I must help him. And now I didn't have any money, but there was one thing I could do for this man. So it was all I could do. So I asked this man to walk with me back to Hans's house, and I started telling him about the gospel and all about Christ and all his salvation, how he's the author and savior of, you know, he's the author of our faith, and how he helps us in our difficulties and our troubles, how he is there with us in the dark times, and how he's with us, and that it's not we are not saved because of the good we do, but we do good because we are saved. We are saved by grace. We are saved by our trust in him, not because of any good we are. And anyway, so this was a whole series I told him on the way back to where I stayed by Hans. And when I got there, back to Hans, I went in through the gate and I asked the Lord, well, now who do I talk to? Because this man still has nowhere to go. So Lord said I must speak to Hans. Now, it might shock you, but Hans had known about this since the morning. The Lord had been telling him all about this man, black man, coming to his gate looking for 15 rand. Because this black man's to get somewhere. Anyway, so Hans also came out to this man and gave him a New Testament and gave him the 15 rand so that he can get a taxi and go back to his family again. So now I'm quite confident that man was saved and he knew Christ from that day forward because I could see it. So it's quite evident.
Oh my.
Keep
speaking. That's all right.
It's quite evident that God was working that day, that he was present, he was working, he was active. Yes, so that's the story there.
Well done, mate. Thanks, mate.
I mean, if you kind of know your Bible, it's kind of a thoroughly biblical story, and you know, God's working in various people when he marries up scenarios. Thank you, Martin. That's really helpful, really encouraging how God worked through you and others in that story to share the gospel with that man. And the kind of, you know, you might, again, resonate with you. You're going through kind of what seems like a very normal, everyday experience, and you feel the kind of prompting of God and to step out, and it takes, again, great bravery to do so. Now Chris is going to come and share, which again, so let's welcome Chris.
This is not easy for me. I've done it so many times, but it's never easy. Stand up and look at everybody. I reached the age of 70. And for the last fortnight, I felt the Lord saying to me, who has made a difference in your life? A lot of people have grandparents, parents, praying for them. Some have nobody. Well, I was, when I was born, when I was born, I was given 24 hours to live. That's when the first time the Lord done something to me. Because I've had no nobody to pray for me, as far as I know. When I was 11 or 12, the Lord spoke to me for the first time. I was up a tree, and I gave my heart to the Lord. But after that, I had nobody to tell me what about Christian life. I went to church. I was at boarding school, so there's nobody there you could speak to. I went to church on every Sunday, worked, walked a mile down to the church, Church of England, did whatever you have to do down there, and then walked back again. But that's all I've had. Then, when I left school, I was searching. I searched and searched and searched. It wasn't until I was in my 20s, I think it was, I came to, I went to New Life in Emsworth when it was small, not as big as big it was then. And there I was baptized in the Spirit. Then I knew Jesus. I knew who was speaking to me all through my teenagers, and that I knew Jesus was speaking to me. Then I was there for 43 years, and I thought I was going to stay there. But Pearl, myself, felt that we ought to move. And so we went and prayed. And the Lord was saying he wanted us to come to Grace. Pearl had already been here once or twice. And I thought, oh dear, change. Change again. I'm not good at changing. And I just felt, yeah, God was saying, yeah, I want you to move. So I've been here 18 months now. I don't know why I'm here. At my age, I don't know what God's got for me, but I know he's got something. I've got words, yeah, the Lord's spoken to me quite a lot since I've been here. I haven't said anything. Sorry, Joe, I just haven't said anything. But I had I'll tell you a vision I had a few weeks ago. And I saw in this vision, I was sitting over there where I normally sit, this place full. There wasn't a seat to be had. Yeah, Haven't has had a lot of prayer over the years. And I believe what I saw was this place full. So you've got your hands full. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say. I get tearful because I get happy. I get, yeah.
I mean, so, what, 24 hours to live? I don't know how many you're on, mate, but you are doing well, praise God. And, you know, as we sing that song earlier, all my life you've been faithful, and just, yeah, what a testimony, what a story. And the power, we believe in baptism of the Spirit as a church, and that changes lives when you get filled with the Holy Spirit upon believing, and then you get filled, it is life changing and life giving. That's Chris's story from when it is 20s, and we're believing God for something here in heaven, not because we're special in any way, but we just believe God's doing something. I do believe God's at work among us, and we trust him for it. We've got one more. It's I know I keep saying that. Isn't this amazing? But I just so encouraged. And there's going to be Kelsey. He's going to come and share. Go on, Kels. She's backing out now. You do it. Well done.
Hi. Okay. Right. So when I was younger,
me and my siblings were exposed to a lot of domestic abuse. I watched things and endured things I wouldn't wish on anyone and didn't really know who Jesus was at that point. As a little girl, I'd always prayed and was under the impression that my grandma was with him but didn't actually know all about it. But I truly met him when I was on a missionary to Nepal with Junction Church, and I can't thank our church enough for making it happen. We saw some awful things, but trust me, Jesus was there in their relationships, in their gratitude, everything. One day in Kathmandu, we was in a dirty, run-down hut in the back of an overgrown yard. Definitely wasn't like the churches you have here. But I have never felt what I felt in that little hut that day. I didn't see him, I didn't hear him, but I felt a cold sensation from my shoulders down to my toes. Almost instinctively, I turned to look at my shoulder and knew he was stood there. It was like a trance where everything just went still and it was just the only thing that mattered was me and Jesus. I've lost where I was. Everyone around us was singing these beautiful cultural worship songs, but Jesus was stood there watching me smiling. It sounds so superstitious. I couldn't see him, I couldn't hear him, but I could feel where he was and what he was doing, like my soul saw him. I don't know why God chose to show himself to me there. The only reason I have is that the people I made connections with needed him most. Those days spent in Nepal were the best days I'd ever had in my life. And since then, Jesus has been my only one and true father. I stopped venting my feelings to my friends, and I started praying to the one who loves me and will always love me. No matter what, God is there. He moves with you. When I pray, he listens. Everything has fallen into place because of him, not me. I just didn't give up. He blessed me with my beautiful life, and it was an awful start, but trust me, because of Jesus, my journey will be one to remember. I knew about Jesus, but now I'm connected with him, and it is the greatest feeling ever, because I know as long as I keep on my feet, he won't let me fall, he won't let me give up. And I've just found out that I've got accepted into 3 unis, one of them being my first choice. And I've prayed so much for it, and it's happened. I just, everything I pray for, I have faith in him that it's going to come true. Yeah. Thank you.
Kelsey. Yeah. Again, I hope your courage and faith is built as mine is. And I'd say I think I got one possible reason why I think that's where God met in the, because God loves to show favor to the humble, and it's not, you know, not in our big fancy sorting ourselves out in our fancy buildings, you know, when we dress ourselves up. It's actually when you go to, you know, humbly serving and in a place like that. And so yeah, we believe that, and again, that's kind of a theme that's come through. Is it's when we get to that place of just surrender and humbly serving, God just will show himself faithful every time. And so praise God. Let me pray again. Again, it's not as it's obvious. It's not just kind of you know, self-help improvement stuff where we've sorted out. This is spiritual stuff where God has been blessing, and prayer is key in it all, as again we've heard lots of times. So let me just pray again for all these and for us. Father, we're just humbled. We're humbled by you. We're humbled by your greatness. We're humbled by your mercy. We're humbled by the way that you would come to us and bless us, that you would hear our prayer and answer. Lord, that you would be faithful to us despite our faithlessness. You're so wonderful, God. We worship you. All our lives are for you. And the sense of, you know, when we come here on a Sunday and it's a joy to be together and worship. And yet then most of the week we're about these lives that people are telling about. So it's so good to hear how you're not just there on a Sunday. You're faithful. You're there every day. And I pray, Lord, for every one of us, would we know that? Would you draw us closer to you? Lord, would we know you better? Would we know the hope to which you called us? Oh, God, in everything. Amen. Amen. Do you want to click on, Andy? There's one more. That verse goes on, and it says, and that you know the hope to which you're called, and it's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I just wanted to put it up and again point to Jesus. Ultimately, it is all for him, all for his name. Every time he blesses us, it's so that he's glorified. And all these stories are not, you know, so that we're all feeling, oh, that's lovely, you know, and you know, it's good to be encouraged, obviously. It's to the glory of Jesus' name. That's why these people have stepped out. And you can see, you can visibly see the effort it takes, can't you, to come and do this and to share. And why people have, you know, put the effort in to do that anyway is for the glory of Jesus' name. That's what we're here for. We're here to glorify him, to serve him, because he's so good, because he's so glorious, he's so worthy of everything. So we're gonna sing again, and so if some of you want to come up, why don't you stand as you get ready to worship and glorify this God again, this one who it's all about, it's all for, it's all by him, through him, and it is certainly all for him. So let's give him the glory, let's give him the credit, let's give him the praise that he's due, as Simon and the guys lead us.